Okay, this is First Baptist Church for Sunday, January 26th, 2025.
I'm going to talk about politics, but what I'm really doing is using politics to describe what is wrong in our country right now, what change is occurring, and I hope to describe what I would say is the Christian solution. Because of the fall from grace and expulsion from Eden, there are certain truths that we now must endure. Life is tough for all of us. In Genesis 3, 17 to 19, to Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Secondly, people are all messed up, every one of us. We have these troubles, we have the tough life to endure, and so we have problems. We run into difficulty. We strive to do things, and sometimes we can, and sometimes we just can't, and we do the best we can if we can have that inspiration. In Genesis 6, 5, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and at every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time." It's the state we live in. It's the fallen state that we live in. Furthermore, people will let you down. They'll hurt you. They'll take advantage of you. That's all true. But it's also true that we need people. So there's our problem. It's like a paradox or a conundrum. We can't, you know, as the saying says, no man is an island. We can't live totally disconnected from everybody. We need each other, but we still have to deal with the fallen condition. So I started saying I would describe what has been happening in our country. Now I'm going to describe something that helps get a vision of this. It's the Overton window. The Overton window is the range of ideas and policies that are considered acceptable in public discourse and action. The idea is that if it's close enough to the center, almost everyone can accept it. If it gets too far out of range, too extreme, it won't be able to be accepted that much. So it can shift depending on the prevailing mood of the times. But generally what is inside is what is currently acceptable, and what is outside would be in one direction or the other considered too extreme to be widely acceptable. The conditions shift around and can even reach the point of many being to one extreme or the other or both. What we are seeing now is the latter. We could make the argument that the window has shifted to the left with so many liberal policies becoming mainstream. The sexuality that's being promoted, things happening in the schools, undermining a society. There's a lot of things going on that we could say have shifted to the left, but it's still the prevailing condition of the times. So what we see now is that on the far right and on the far left, people are grouping everyone to the other side as the problem. If you are on the right too far, you look to the left and say, that's everybody's there is the problem. And if you're on the left, you look to the right and say, well, everybody over there is the problem. Well, at the same time, we have those on the far right doing that. So to all those on the left, I have a different opinion. I believe what needs to happen is that those to the left of center and those to the right of center, what I call the moderate majority, have to learn to once again have civil discourse and be able to communicate honestly. The reality, whether liberal or conservative, the other is not your enemy. Again, not those at the extremes and radicals. We need to recognize that sometimes the other's way may be right. It might be the best course of action. We need to be able to listen and state our position clearly for that the best course to be revealed. The way the Holy Spirit works amongst us is through the bringing forth of the various ideas that can help guide us in the right direction. Proverbs 18:17. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. So you can have a statement that seems right, but until it's compared, until you have various ideas, you won't know what is the best way to go. In the Bible, this would be the Holy Spirit working between us to reveal the path. This last thought also brings forth the scripture that says, I don't have it. If any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know what we will judge, that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother takes another to court, and this in front of unbelievers. The idea is that if we're... I'm going to stop. I said I would try to bring a understanding of the Christian solution to this problem, and that brings us to today's scripture from Matthew 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is often misunderstood, I think, especially this first portion. People will take the do not judge, and they think that's the whole point of it. But it's not. Because it continues, or you too will be judged in the same way you judge others. It's actually an instruction to judge others the same way we would want to be judged.
But yeah, I felt that backfire on me in life too. God judged me the way I was judging others, and I felt like the reverse psychology there.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I repented for it.
So this idea that you would be judged the same way you judged others, we talk about judgment as not being condemnation. You have to be able to discern. You can't help someone if you can't make some kind of a decision, which is a judgment, of what their condition is.
Well, I think it has to do with idle words, right? Idle words.
Idle words.
Every idle word you speak, you'll be accounted for. So if you judge with righteous judgment, you're judging with a sincere heart. But if you're judging with idle words, you know, you're judging counterfeitly, falsely, evil. You're judging with idle words.
Well, the thing I'm saying is, being judged the same way, if you are condemning others, then you yourself would be condemned. It's like, I remember someone saying, if so-and-so is in heaven, I'm going to be pissed off. Well, you know, they might feel the same way about you. Okay? The point is, we do have to work together and be able to, as I keep saying, listen. So we are able to see with great clarity the faults of, or what we determine to be the faults in others. But our vision is not so clear of our own faults. So, the Christian solution requires humility, and as this Bible says, not seeing others, not seeing ourselves higher than others. So when we discuss, as I say, we listen. The purpose is not to debate. You know, when we get into an argument, it's not a discussion anymore. It becomes just a battle, and there's not going to be any movement forward as long as we're just calling each other's names and blaming each other for everything. We need to compare alternatives, which is, again, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It can influence us to bring up even better ideas and to gain clarity by working together. One of my sayings is, be reasonable. You can't reason with an unreasonable person. And so, again, it's a matter of listening to each other and working together. And this brings me to another point. It's about faith. First, the only real way to have this kind of positive change is by connection with Jesus, the real change agent in people's lives. And that requires faith. So now, here's the point about faith. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. When we are so certain that we are right and others are wrong, we are at a standstill. We need hope. I am noticing change. People are working up. There's interest in faith and the Bible, and it's increasing. It would seem that there's a change agent working. This makes me hopeful looking at it. From the other side, when your fight with each other has begun, the devil has won. But with faith, hope, and love, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the grace from the Lord Jesus Christ, we can and will come together again and be the country that this is in this day and age is the light upon the hill, bringing glory to God. I'm sorry, I got a little knocked off course there with that incident. I hope everybody was able to receive something from this message today. We judge, but not to condemn. We listen so that we can hear the direction that we might take to be the best. Sometimes one will be right, sometimes the other will be right, but if we're not communicating and listening to each other and allowing the Holy Spirit to work to bring us to the best decision, we're going to just be in a standstill. Father God, I thank you for allowing me to continue through this service. I do hope and pray that Jim will be okay and that he will safely arrive at the hospital, if that's where they're going, and get the attention that he needs. I thank you for Carl, who is so observant to notice there was a problem and offer to do the help that he did. We thank you, Lord, that once again, the Holy Spirit worked to bring attention to a situation that needed handling. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want, but he is also the good shepherd, and he takes care of us, and thankfully leads us in the right way. Thank you, Jesus.